right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a beautiful 72 degrees with blue skies, sun shining, a little bit of humidity here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Made in Internet. Megabots, DNA nanobots, DARPA city sensors, and the Internet of Things. We looked at some pretty insane things, talking about DNA nanobots in your body, being able to pick up little molecules and walk them around, including bits of DNA. We also looked at DARPA's new sensor project to be able to make these little sensors that don't need any external power source, that can use ambient piezoelectric vibrations, or actually I think in this case it was ambient infrared heat, to be able to come out of sleep mode and then turn itself on and run without any type of intervention. We also looked at some of the crazy things that I don't remember who had that. It was Amazon. Amazon Glass had this new, it was like Google Glass, but even better because it used bone conduction for sound to be able to vibrate. And I thought it was actually using the bones in your body, almost. It was using the bones in your ears to be able to vibrate them and make you hear them without any sound whatsoever. Technology is moving along at a pace that it is very difficult to keep up with. And this morning, I saw a couple stories about CRISPR that really brought my attention back. We haven't talked about CRISPR in a while, but we have been for the last couple years. CRISPR from Georgie Porgy Church and Jennifer Doudna, and they're still having patent disputes over who actually owns the technology. But we've seen CRISPR in a lot of different places. They are working on CRISPRing embryos. Remember, that was all approved, as long as they don't let them grow beyond a certain amount of time. Not only in China, they've done it a few times with humans, but in the UK and the US as well. There was a story that came out yesterday or the day before that made me go, aw, look at how they're trying to sell this to the public. CRISPR may allow us to choose the color of butterflies' wings. So it's not a scary technology. Don't worry about it. This won't become a weapon of mass destruction at some point, like Clapper had raised a concern in front of one of the military establishments. No, we can just change butterfly wing color. Look at how pretty CRISPR is. Only nature can paint the gorgeous colors and patterns on a butterfly's wings, but scientists say that now they have mastered the first steps and hope in time to control the entire coloring system, making it possible to design living butterfly wings. So don't worry about people changing eye color or hair color in their children. We can design our own butterflies for your next wedding. The pattern and coloring on butterflies' wings are governed by a suite of genes, and this new CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technique now makes it much easier to figure out what a gene does by deleting it and seeing what happens. We've read a lot about that, how they've been going through different bacteria. Georgie Porgy Church was one of the first to go through all of the E. coli bacteria to turn things on and off to see what they do. Is part of a discovery process and mad experimentation. Well, this group was led by Linlin Zhang and Robert D. Reed of Cornell University, which is one of the places that they've been experimenting with genetically modified insects. And they have found that a gene called OPTIX has a remarkable role. It controls all of the color in a butterfly's wing. And when OPTIX is deleted from the Gulf Fritillaries eggs, the resulting adult butterflies, which are mostly deep brown, wear a ghostly black and silver livery. Species involved in different forms, and the work of these two groups show that genes like the WNTA and the OPTIX are master genes that control the activity of other genes and can evolve very different roles in the species. So we can change the color of butterfly wings, so that's going to sell it to the public. But remember, too, they have been tinkering with humans. And like I said, they've only been allowed to grow in petri dishes to just a few weeks. And then they have to get rid of them. Well, now gene editing could result in more successful birth rates. Let's put a positive spin on this. Don't worry about the fact that we had all these off-target mutations just recently with CRISPR. We can make more successful births. In the first study of its kind, they have used CRISPR to understand human embryo development. Gene-edited human embryos are offering new insights into the earliest stages of development. So don't worry about the ethics of it. We are going to cure you at some point in the future and could reduce the risk of miscarriage at the onset of pregnancy. In a new study, researchers from the UK's Francis Crick Institute use CRISPR-Cas9 to block a gene known as OCT4 in human embryos. By stopping it from functioning, the researchers saw that it is no longer producing its resulting protein, also called OCT4. And as a result, the human embryos cease to attach or to grow sufficiently. Their findings, published in the journal Nature, illustrate the importance of the gene in human development. So finding another one of those little chinks in the human armor. Usually, this type of study is conducted on mice, which are easier to come by than humans and carry less ethical considerations. But in this case, scientists knocked out the gene in 41 human embryos donated by couples who had undergone in vitro fertilization. And the researchers claim that the switch allowed them to highlight the key differences between the role of OCT4 in humans and in mice. The team is also hoping that their findings can help scientists better grasp why some women suffer more miscarriages than others. And additionally, the study could also increase the rate of successful IVF procedures. So I was thinking to myself, double-edged sword, can also help them understand how to terminate pregnancies when they decide that the planet is overpopulated. This is not the first time scientists have used human embryos. Earlier this year, two researchers from Oregon became the first to use CRISPR to cut out genes that caused an inherited disease in humans. Before that, scientists in China utilized the technique to repair a gene that can bring about a fatal blood disorder. We read about another one that actually could cure blindness, but that's where the off targets happened. This new study is being hailed as a compelling first step. We were surprised to see how crucial this gene is for human embryo development. Ding, ding. But we need to continue our work to confirm its role. Other research methods, including studies in mice, suggest a later and more focused role for OCT4. So our results highlight the need for human embryo research. I mean, this is like total Frankenstein's. Not only are they trying to recreate the brain and make artificial synapses that can think and learn all by themselves, but they are tinkering with human embryos to see what changes they can make to be able to effect a change, and as well as other insects and things of that nature in our environment. Remember, we had read about them looking now to potentially genetically modify bed bugs to make them easier to kill. This story was in a feed of mine this morning. It is from February 24th, 2017. It made me think of the story that we covered about Georgie Porgy Church and their development of CRISPRed human pig hybrids in order to grow organs for those of us who might need an organ transplant at some point in the future. And it has a much better ability to not be rejected. CRISPRed pigs make rare disease-resistant bacon. Homer Simpson once referred, of course, unknowingly, of course, to the pig as a magical, mystical creature. And for many, culinary speaking, that is right on the mark. And yet, as health officials and farmers view the enchanted porkine differently, in addition to mammals having been a haven for zoonotic diseases that often spread to humans, and there was another issue with the pig organs that they were CRISPRing out of it, viral infections in pigs cost the swine industry billions of dollars in lost product every year. Creating animals that are genetically resistant to various viruses would not only save money, but could also provide a greater means to protect the population from potentially epidemic diseases such as influenza. Now, we had postulated at the time when we were first reading about the CRISPRed pigs and growing organs for humans, and the fact that they were able to CRISPR out the potential for zoonotic diseases, what were they going to do with the rest of that pig after they harvested the organs? I couldn't imagine that they would just burn it or throw it out. And then we found out that I think it was Smithfield had picked up on that technology and were part of the experiment. And Smithfield, of course, is now a Chinese company as well. And I kind of raised an eyebrow at that, going, I don't see them getting rid of the rest of the CRISPRed pigs. It's probably going to somehow slink its way into the food supply. Well, it seems that at least the technology has. And remember, CRISPRing is not genetic modification. So now a team of investigators from the University of Edinburgh and the biotech company Genus have used the genome editing tool CRISPR-Cas9 to engineer pigs that are potentially resistant to porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome, which causes severe breathing problems in young pigs and breeding failures in pregnant females. The finding from the study was published recently in PLOS-1. As an article entitled Precision Engineering for PRRSV Resistance in Pigs, Macrophages from Genome-Edited Pigs Lacking CD163, SRCR5 domain are fully resistant to both PRRSV, which is that respiratory and reproductive syndrome genotypes, while maintaining their biological function, and that would be as pigs. Genome editing offers opportunities to boost food security, ding, ding, by reducing waste and losses from infectious disease, as well as improving animal welfare by reducing the burden of disease, explains senior study investigator Alan Archibald, PhD, head of the Division of Genetics and Genomics at the Roslin Institute within the University of Edinburgh. Our results have taken us closer to realizing these benefits and specifically addresses the most important infectious disease problem for the pig industry worldwide. Initial findings from the study reveal that cells from the engineered pigs are completely resistant to infection. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. I'm telling you, this is where this technology is headed. And the investigators say that the animals are otherwise healthy and that the gene edit should not affect their ability to fight off other infections. Previous studies have shown that the PRRS virus targets macrophages, specifically a molecule on the surface of these cells called the CD163, which plays a role in enabling the PRRS virus to establish an infection. The investigators use CRISPR-Cas9 technique to cut out a small section of the CD163 gene in the pigs, and the tests using the edited cells from the pigs with the modified CD163 have confirmed that the genetic edit blocks the virus from being able to cause infection. And don't think this is just for the welfare of the pigs. This is an experiment to see if we just cut this little protein or whatever it is and splice and dice out the little piece where the infection gets a foothold. Maybe we could make this a disease-resistant pig eventually to be utilized in humans. The research team is looking ahead toward the next stage of the study in which they will test whether the pigs are resistant to infection when exposed to the virus. We haven't quite done that yet. Previous work by a different research group produced pigs that lacked an entire CD163 molecule and did not become ill when exposed to the virus. However, in this latest study, only a section of the CD163 that interacts with the PRRS virus was removed, allowing the molecule to retain its other biological functions. The PRRS is endemic in most pig-producing countries worldwide, and vaccines have mostly failed to stop the spread of the virus. So remember, vaccinations have failed us, and that is something that we've been seeing for a while now with vaccine shedding and other things. You know, the technology they tried to sell us that came out of the biowarfare division to act in a defensive posture against evolving threats on the homeland or from abroad, those vaccines have not been living up to their promise. Now we have to find another way. DARPA has been involved in finding ways to genetically modify things since they were tinkering at Plum Islands in Fort Detrick, Maryland. We found out in an interview in 1982. So this is where this is all headed. Remember the shape-shifting immune system that DARPA had been working on. The results further the case for the CD163 and the PRSS virus infection. It demonstrates that the targeted removal of the viral interacting domain can confer resistance while the remainder of the protein is present. Well, we had a story back from May 29, 2017. CRISPR gene editing can cause hundreds of unintended mutations, and that was the time to get into CRISPR stock if there was any time. As CRISPR-Cas9 starts to move into clinical trials, a new study published in Nature Methods has found that the gene editing technology can introduce hundreds of unintended mutations into the genome. We feel that it is critical that the scientific community considers the potential hazards of all of the off-target mutations caused by CRISPR, including single nucleotide mutations and mutations in non-coding regions of the genome, says co-author Stephen Tsang, MD and PhD at Columbia's Institute of Genomic Medicine and the Institute of Human Nutrition. CRISPR-Cas9 editing technology, by virtue of its speed and unprecedented precision, has been a boon for scientists trying to understand the role of genes in diseases. And this technique has also raised hope for more powerful gene therapies that can delete and repair flawed genes, not just add new genes, because if they added new genes, that would be considered genetic modification. The first clinical trial to deploy CRISPR is now underway in China, and the U.S. trial is slated to start next year. But even though CRISPR can precisely target specific stretches of DNA, it sometimes hits other parts of the genome. Most studies that search for these off-target mutations use computer algorithms to identify the areas most likely to be affected and don't examine the entire genome. Whoops. These predictive algorithms seem to do a good job when CRISPR is performed in cells or tissues in a dish, but whole genome sequencing has not yet been employed to look for off targets in living animals, which was kind of a big oops. In the new study, the researchers sequenced the entire genome of mice that had undergone CRISPR gene editing in the team's previous study and looked for all the mutations, including those that only altered a single nucleotide. The researchers determined that CRISPR had successfully corrected a gene that caused blindness, ding. But Kelly Schaefer, PhD student in the lab of Vint Mahajan, PhD associate professor of ophthalmology at Stanford University and co-author of the study, found that the genomes of two independent gene therapy recipients had sustained more than 1,500, it's not hundreds, but thousands of single nucleotide mutations and more than 100 larger deletions and insertions that probably shouldn't have been there. None of these DNA mutations were predicted by the computer algorithms that are widely used by researchers to look for off-target mutations. But don't worry about that, because the fix is in September 20th, 2017, out of Berkeley News, where Jennifer Doudna is located, and discoveries help engineers more accurately edit for CRISPR. Scientists at the University of California, Berkeley, and at the Massachusetts General Hospital have identified a key region within the Cas9 protein that governs how accurately CRISPR-Cas9 homes in on a target DNA sequence. And they have tweaked it to produce hyper-accurate gene editors with the lowest level of off-target cutting to date. Well, phew, no need to worry then. Just step right up. The protein domain the researchers identified is a master controller of DNA cutting, and it is an obvious target for re-engineering to improve the accuracy even further. And the researchers now are using this approach to help scientists customize variants of Cas9, which is the protein that binds and cuts DNA, to minimize the chance that the CRISPR-Cas9 will edit DNA at the wrong place. A consideration when doing gene therapy in live humans. Oh no, don't cut that one. One strategy to achieve the improved accuracy is to create mutations in the governing protein domain called the REC3 and to see which ones improve accuracy without impacting the efficiency of on-target cutting. We have found that even minor alterations in the REC3 domain of Cas9 affects the differential between on and off target editing, which suggests that this is a domain that is an obvious candidate for in-depth mutagenesis to improve targeting specificity. And as an extension of this work, one could perform a more unbiased mutagenesis. Like, you gotta love that word, mutagenesis in humans intentionally. That means a mutation of the gene. Within the REC3, then the targeted mutations that we have made, says co-author Janice Chen, a graduate student in the lab of Jennifer Doudna, who co-invented CRISPR-Cas9. So I saw a story this morning out of Scientific American, and it will not let me get this whole story. It is locked unless I pay for it. But the title caught my attention. Can scientists convince the public to accept CRISPR and gene drives? And we've read about gene drives before. Bill Gates had doubled down on gene drives with wiping out mosquitoes to eradicate malaria. Bill Gates doubles his bet on wiping out mosquitoes with gene editing, and that would be turning CRISPR into a machine, pretty much, that goes through and hits an entire population to genetically modify them in one generation. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation plans to double its sum of spending to create a mosquito-killing technology that relies on CRISPR gene editing. The technique, called a gene drive, is a way to spread traits through wild populations of animals, including humans, and its ability to alter nature is drawing opposition from some environmental groups. The Gates-funded project called Target Malaria is based at the Imperial College London. And that was Oxitec, who was doing some of the work on that, and has been seeking to add instructions to the DNA of malaria mosquitoes that would cause them to become sterile. Oh, look at that. Again, more reproductive tinkering. It's got to make you wonder. If released in the wild, the gene drives could push these species to extinction. Spokesman Brian Callahan says that the Gates Foundation will give Target Malaria an additional $35 million, bringing Gates' total investment to $75 million, and that is the largest sum ever spent on gene drive technology. Scientists at the Imperial College and elsewhere first succeeded in installing gene drives in mosquitoes last year in 2015 in the research lab, setting off a global debate over whether the technology is safe enough to use. The new money will help Target Malaria explore the potential development of other constructs, as well as to start mapping out the next steps for biosafety. We found out there isn't much of that going on in the industry as a whole. Bioethics, there isn't much of that either. Community engagement and regulatory guidance, says Callahan. And of course, they are selling this as a green technology, not using pesticides. So communities are opening their arms. It is basically a lot of groundwork, and the Gates Foundation views the technology as a long shot that won't necessarily work, but if it does, could effectively end malaria. And Billy is sitting in this picture with an evil smile on his face and his hands laced together. The foundation previously said it has plans to have a gene drive approved for field use by 2029. Where? Oh, somewhere in Africa. Go for it, Billy. But Gates, the founder of Microsoft, offered a more enthusiastic prognostication in comments made this year, saying the technology might be ready in just 2 years. The gene drive works by spreading genetic instructions as animals mate. And for instance, if a drive causes only males to be born, a population would quickly crash as it runs out of females. So kind of like in China, it may also be possible to change mosquitoes so they are unable to transmit malaria, which is a significant cause of death in children in sub-Saharan Africa. In a report earlier in 2016, the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine in Washington said that gene drives were not yet ready for environmental release. But they laid out steps that should be taken to test them safely, recommendations that the Gates Foundation says that it will follow. And we have people like the Gates Foundation developing these technologies and wanting to release them in the big petri dish we call Earth. And they say that they'll follow the recommendations. Well, good on you, Billy. Genetic techniques for quote-unquote biocontrol have also caught the eye of conservationists as a way to kill off invasive species, including mosquitoes, rats, toads, or fish that take over an ecosystem and can drive local species to extinction. Over the weekend, during the World Congress of the International Union of Conservation of Nature in Hawaii, the nonprofit Island Conservation announced that it had started a project, and I saw they were doing this in New Zealand as well. They started a project to genetically engineer mice so that they only produce male offspring. The group believes that gene drives will be a way to wipe out invasive rodents off the island and archipelagos where they prey on birds and lizards. So other researchers, well, I guess rats could prey on birds. Other researchers hope to eradicate mosquitoes from Hawaii in order to save the island chain's remaining native birds, which are succumbing to an avian form of malaria. Other conservation groups, however, have circulated a petition in Hawaii calling for a moratorium on the idea. They worry that promoting gene drives as a conservation tool could pave the way for commercial use of gene drives to manage agricultural pests. Genetic extinction technologies are a false and dangerous solution to the problem of biodiversity loss, says Eric Pinka, president of the Friends of the Earth, in a statement signed by an anti-GMO campaigners that call the technology reckless. And I would second that opinion. Heath Packard, a spokesman for Island Conservation, says that his group is willing to consider the technology because 90% of the world's chains, island chains, are infested with rodents. And this has previously eradicated rats from some islands, including the Galapagos, using poison baits. But efforts to poison rats are expensive, hard to pull off on larger islands, and could create risks for all the animals that eat them. Yeah. So what is a gene drive? Well, gene drive FAQs put out by the Weiss Institute of Genetically Inspired Engineering, or Biologically Inspired Engineering, of which Georgie Porgy Church is a part of. Gene drives, they pass on a genetic element to offspring, and it could cause multitudes of things. They could cause males to be born so there are no females to reproduce. It could also cause genetic switches that when they are flipped, and in one case we read about the Oxitec with the tetracycline requirement, if they don't receive their tetracycline, the embryos will wither up and die. Do we think that this is a good technology? And what right do we have to alter other species to extinction? Well, that is a question. And this is a scary side of where some of the eugenics comes in, is they are phenotyping and DNA typing each and every one of us and putting us into databases and determining what is a good reproductive stock and what isn't. It makes you wonder what these technologies can be used for. Well, U.S. defense agencies are now grappling with gene drives and this technology that can quickly spread genetic modifications. They could potentially be utilized as a weapon. The Jason scientists, which Annie, I don't remember her last name, Annie Jacobson had talked about in her book about DARPA. The Jason scientists, an elite group of scientists that advise the U.S. government on national security, has weighed in on issues ranging from cybersecurity to renewing America's nuclear arsenal. But in a meeting in June, the secretive group took stock of a new threat, and that would be gene drives, being funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a genetic engineering technology that can swiftly spread modifications through entire populations and could help vanquish things such as malaria-spreading mosquitoes. That meeting forms part of a broader U.S. national security effort this year to grapple with the possible risks and benefits of a technology that could drive a species extinct and alter an entire ecosystem. On July 19th of 2016, the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, announced a $65 million in funding to scientists studying gene editing technologies, though most of this money will be used for work on gene drives. and U.S. intelligence counterpart to DARPA, and that is IARPA, Georgie Porgy Church, is working on barcoding neurons for them, is planning to fund research into detecting organisms that contain gene drives and other modifications. Every powerful technology is a national security issue, says Kevin Esvelt, an evolutionary engineer at the MIT Institute in Cambridge, who won DARPA funding to limit the spread of gene drives. You know, they create the technology, and now they get lots of money to figure out how to prevent it. Esvelt also says that he attended last month's JASN meeting in San Diego, California, where he outlined how would-be bioterrorists might weaponize gene drives. But he is far more concerned about the potential for the accidental release of a gene drive organism by scientists, and bioterror is what I am worried about. So too is the U.S. military, according to Renee Wertzkin, the DARPA program office leader, in its Safe Genes Initiative, which supports research on restraining gene drives. The technology has been developed in recent years for fruit flies, mosquitoes, and other organisms utilizing CRISPR gene editing. And a UK-based team, and that's the one we just read about, hopes to begin field tests of gene drives in mosquitoes, the main carrier of malaria in Africa, as soon as 2024. I've been very excited watching these advances, but I've noted with increasing concern what these advances and how they are outpacing our biosecurity. The JASN's gene drive discussion involved 20 scientists, according to Philip Messer, a population geneticist, ding, ding, at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, who attended the meeting. And as a German citizen, he was identified as a foreign national and accompanied by an escort. Yeah, nice. We're bringing in the Germans again. I am not used to that kind of conferences, Messer, who says that he told the group about his lab's effort to study the evolution of resistance to CRISPR gene drives in fruit flies. We just had an open discussion about this technology and what we think the current state of the field was and what we think the problems are. Gerald Joyce, a biochemist at the Salk Institute in La Jolla, California, and a JASN member who says that Messers co-organized the meeting, declined to comment on the meeting, which is likely to be a classified report. Under the DARPA program, 7 teams won 4 contracts. Esvelt plans to develop CRISPR gene editing in neotered worms, a fast reproducing model organism that is designed to spread genetic modifications in a local setting and then fizzle out, a concept that other scientists are pursuing as well. He and the other teams receiving military funding also plan to develop tools to counter rogue gene drives that spread out of control. And we read about a story a while ago about them locking our genomes down, such as digital rights management. And such a method includes chemicals that block gene editing or anti-gene drives that can reverse a genetic modification or immunize unaltered wild organisms so that they are resistant to a gene drive. Those tools could combat a gene drive deployed to do harm, such as those that engineer insects to transmit diseases. And I've thought about that before in regards to those stink bugs. I was like, how hard would that be? They all supposedly arrived over here in a shipping crate from China. How hard would that be to genetically modify those stink bugs to release some sort of toxin? Psst. Just thought about that because, I mean, that's not beyond the technical capabilities now of what is going on in some of these dark labs down dark halls. But such countermeasures are far more likely to be deployed against accidental gene drive release from research labs, says Esvelt, and lax or non-existent biosafety guidelines. We read there really isn't much of any biosafety guidelines going on in this orgy for rewriting life on planet Earth. For working on gene drive organisms increases the odds of a release because they are so lax. Other efforts are afoot to fund work studying a national security implication of gene drives. Next week, the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Agency, more affectionately known as IARPA, which is part of the Office of the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, will hold a meeting about a planned funding program for detecting genetically modified organisms that are potentially harmful, including ones that contain gene drives. Now, let's follow this up with a story that Pigmind sent me this morning that actually kind of shocked me and got me on the CRISPR tangent. This was dated September 22nd, 2017, out of MIT Technology Review, under the subheading of Rewriting Life, 5 Ways to Get CRISPR into the Body. Duh, duh, duh. Yes, they are working on it. You knew they were. Scientists are investigating a range of different delivery mechanisms for the gene editing tool CRISPR, from topical gels to skin grafts. The gene editing technology called CRISPR has the potential to treat and possibly cure any number of diseases. But in order for the DNA editing to happen inside of you, CRISPR needs to find its way to the right part of the body. So now it's not just DNA nanobots getting inside of you, it's CRISPR too, to modify you on the fly. That mostly means getting a DNA cutting protein called Cas9, normally found in bacteria such as E. coli, to work in your cells. And to do that, researchers are trying some surprising delivery techniques. Here are some of them. Number one would be gels and creams. Among the first attempts to use CRISPR in humans is a trial planned in China for treating what? Oh, a sexually transmitted disease. Oh, yes. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, the most common sexually transmitted infection. Most infections cause no symptoms and go away on their own, but left to persist, HPV can cause cervical or other cancers, or anal cancer in boys. The vaccine to prevent HPV is available, but there are no treatments for people who already have the virus. So now comes along Chinese researchers who are developing a gel that contains DNA coding for a CRISPR machinery. And this topical treatment is designed to inactivate the viral gene of HPV while leaving the DNA of healthy cells intact. The trial will enroll women with HPV infections, and they will receive the gel twice a week for 4 weeks with the gel applied directly to the cervix. Yeah, what is that going to do? My God, this is complete and utter insanity. Now, number two, if you don't want to get the CRISPR gel on your cervix, there is the drinkable or edible CRISPR, and we have talked about that previously before as well. Resistance to antibiotics is growing in the U.S. And remember, there was even an executive order by Obama to combat antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And it is growing in the U.S. and around the world, so much so that certain bacterial infections are becoming deadly and a national security concern. And as an alternative to traditional antibiotics, a CRISPR pill or drinkable liquid could be one of the new ways to fight these germs. Jan Peter von Pilkeren, and we read about him before, at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, along with startup companies like Eglio Bioscience and Locus Bioscience, are developing CRISPR therapies that tell harmful bacteria to make fatal cuts to its own DNA. The CRISPR mechanism would be a good bacteria, or like a probiotic that a person could swallow as a pill or a liquid. Unlike antibiotics, which kill both good and bad bacteria, a drinkable or edible CRISPR probiotic would be specific to a patient's bacterial infection, only killing harmful germs. Now, if you remember, there was a story about Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funding Living Therapeutics. This is out of MIT News, April 5th, 2016, reprogramming gut bacteria as living therapeutics. Daily doses of synthetic biotics developed at a startup called Synalogic may sense and treat metabolic diseases. An MIT spin-out called Synalogix is aiming to create a new class of medicines by reprogramming bacteria found in the gut as living therapeutics. Based on research by its co-founders, MIT professors Tim Liu and Jim Collins, Synalogix creates a so-called synthetic biotics, which senses and corrects metabolic abnormalities that underlie some major diseases and rare genetic disorders. Human intestines are filled with trillions of bacteria, collectively called your microbiota, that carry out vital health functions. Synalogic synthetic biotics, which are capsules or liquid suspensions or other dosage forms that can be taken regularly, augment that microbiota with new metabolic capabilities or complement lost functionality in organs such as the liver. Over the past decade or so, the intricate connections between microbes in our bodies have become clearer and clearer, so let's start tinkering with them. And it is well known now that our bacteria that live in our gut have a major influence on human health, says Lou, an associate professor of electrical engineering and computer science and of biological engineering, as well as the head of MIT's synthetic biology group, who serves as scientific advisor for Synalogix. We leverage that interface as a way for treating human disease. Last month, Synalogix raised an additional $40 million in a venture capital and secured its first industry partnership with pharmaceutical giant AbbVie. For the partnership, Synalogix will collaborate with AbbVie to develop synthetic biotics for the potential treatment of inflammatory bowel disease, which may include probiotic microbes programmed to detect intestinal inflammation and then to produce anti-inflammatory molecules or break down pro-inflammatory effectors. Two of Synalogix's main drug candidates expect to enter clinical trials during the next 12 months, treating rare genetic metabolic disorders. One drug candidate is for treating urea cycle disorders, which is caused by an enzyme deficiency that leads to a buildup of toxic ammonia in the blood. The other is for treating PKU, which involves a dangerous excess of amino acid phenylalanine due to a mutation in other metabolic enzymes. In both cases, Synalogix's drug processes and flushes out toxic metabolites from the body. Think of Synalogix drugs as biological thermostats where they can identify and regulate the temperature of a room. Inside of the body, the synthetic biotics detect and regulate the amount of an enzyme or a metabolic byproduct in the human body. Now, I came across a story that I didn't know about this before, getting back to edible and CRISPR. And this was another one that Pigmind dropped me this morning. This came out of New Scientist from 2002. This is a publication that I used to read out of the UK. We talked about Charles Arnston in the past before and his development of edible vaccines, the vaccine banana, potato, tomato, and rice that he'd been tinkering with. Well, did you know that there was an edible HIV vaccine breakthrough in 2002? Maize, genetically modified to contain a key protein found on the surface of the monkey form of HIV, has been created by a U.S. company called Protegene. And we've talked about them before. They were the ones that had that unfortunate incident in Iowa. This development brings an edible, more effective HIV vaccine closer for people, says the U.S. National Institute of Health. The protein, which is the SIVGP120, is the simian form of a protein that will be used in an HIV vaccine trial on people in Thailand later in 2002. Researchers will inject a canary pox modified virus to contain HIV genes and then booster a shot of the HIVGP120. Both of the trial and the Protegene's SIV maize research is being funded by the National Institute of Health. But the injected HIVGP120 is not expected to provoke a strong immune response from the mucosal layers of the body where an ingested vaccine would. For AIDS, a mucosal vaccine is important in two respects, says Stuart Shapiro of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases from the NIH. First, the HIV virus usually gets into the body through the mucosa, which is then either transmitted sexually or homosexually. So to have a good mucosal immune response is really important. Secondly, a mucosal vaccine is safer than an injectable vaccine in the developing world, where the needles get reused and are not sterilized properly. Sarah Schlinksinger, a research scientist at the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative in New York, says that Prodigene's announcement is wonderful news, and the protein has been in short supply and hard to produce, so it is going to be very useful for vaccine science. So they're making an HIV vaccine in corn, or they were in 2002. The NIH has Prodigene to create maize or corn that expresses the simian form of the protein to assess the immune response in mice. We can then take it and feed it to monkeys in our lab and see not only if we get a response, but if that response is protective against SIV. The maize-based source of HIV would have advantages beyond the possibility of producing large amounts of cheap vaccine in an edible format. It would be very stable. It could be dried and stored for long periods of time and safely shipped. And oops, it could accidentally find its way into the food supply. Well, let's take a look at that one. This is out of GMWatch.org. And this is that same year, November 15th, 2002. Prodigene officials may face jail. Contamination could be AIDS vaccine or a blood thickener. Prodigene officials may face jail time. U.S. food makers urge a ban on food crops for medicine. Prodigene officials may face jail time, and biopharmaceutical contamination could be AIDS vaccine or blood thickener. November 14th, 2002, U.S. food companies urged the government on Thursday to temporarily ban the use of corn, soybean, and other food crops to produce pharmaceuticals after a Texas company accidentally mixed its gene-altered corn with other crops. Prodigene, Inc., a small biotech company experimenting with corn engineered to make medications for diabetes and diarrhea, and we also found out for AIDS, faces two federal investigations for contaminating other crops in Nebraska and Iowa. The National Food Processors Association said that the federal government should halt planting of gene-altered crops for pharmaceuticals until it imposes tougher regulations to prevent future incidents. Ding, ding, ding. There should be no testing of this kind unless you can get 100% confinement and containment. The risk is too high, says Rona Applebaum, the group's senior vice president of regulatory affairs. The Grocery Manufacturers Association of America, whose members include food makers such as General Mills, Kellogg, and Del Monte, said it was deeply concerned by Prodigene's reported conduct. We strongly urge the biotech industry to direct its substantial research capabilities into investigating the use of non-food crops for the development of pharmaceuticals. Both the industry groups are supporters of biotech foods, such as corn engineered to repel pests or to produce a better quality crop, but they part company with biotech when it comes to growing so-called farm foods, spelled P-H-A-R-M, next to crops destined for human or animal consumption. Environmental groups in many European nations take a different view. They oppose all biotech plants, contending that not enough is yet known about their long-term safety in humans. Although unwanted corn often sprouts in soybean fields, Prodigene failed to pull out its biocorn in Nebraska and removed it too late in Iowa, according to the U.S. Agriculture Department. As a result, Prodigene was ordered to destroy 155 acres of corn in Iowa and may have to buy 500,000 bushels of soybeans quarantined in Nebraska because of potential contamination. These incidences reaffirmed the Grocery Manufacturers Association's concerns about the use of food crops for the development of plant-made pharmaceuticals. And I remember we had read that they had just kind of scaled back to things such as tobacco, where they could genetically modify them to make medications in the United States. Bo Miller, biotechnology director for Dow Chemical, says that the company planted its first pharmaceutical crop in the U.S. Southwest only this year, and next year Dow will closely monitor the field for any stray plants. So Dow is doing it too. Miller did not disclose how many acres were planted with Dow's experimental pharma-based corn, and the company said that it plans to take extraordinary measures to control corn pollen, including mile-wide buffer zones covering plants with special screens and timing the plants of a field so it is not fertile at the same time as neighboring crops. Planting in the U.S. Southwest has been our business model from the beginning, says Dow, and only about 300 acres throughout the United States was planted with pharma crops this year, according to the industry. Last month, the Biotechnology Industry Organization announced that its members would follow new voluntary guidelines to grow plant-produced pharmaceuticals outside of the Midwest in the Plain States. So how does that leave you feeling? So it's just a voluntary I don't know what you want to call it, condition. Be careful out there. So, we read a story back. Oh, I don't know. I'll have to find it again. I think this one was maybe the beginning of this year, April 17th, 2017. Edible CRISPR could replace antibiotics. Researchers are developing a probiotic to make disease-causing bacteria self-destruct. As resistance to antibiotics grows in the U.S. and all over the world, researchers are looking for new way to fight germs such as Clostridium difficile, that's the C. difficile, a bacterium that can cause fatal infections in hospitals and nursing homes. And one way to do this is to create a CRISPR pill that instructs harmful bacteria to self-destruct. CRISPR is a powerful gene editing technology that has been explored as a way to precisely edit human genes to cure diseases, but the technology's versatility is such that it is being studied for a huge range, large swaths of land of other diseases. Last week, scientists in Boston showed that they could craft CRISPR into a cheap, simple diagnostic test, and now scientists want to turn it into an ultra-precise antimicrobial treatment to, quote, specifically kill the bacteria of your choice. How wonderful is that, says food scientist Jan-Peter van Pilkersen of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. While not a household name, C. difficile tops the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention's list of urgent drug-resistant threats. And in 2015, a study by the agency found that the bug caused nearly 500,000 infections in Americans, including 15 million deaths. Now, hold the phone here. Because I have a feeling that these are the boys who are working on it. A company named Eligio. Eligio has raised now $20 million to take bacteria-killing CRISPR drugs into the clinic. So we are going to start tinkering with it and utilizing it on people. Canosa Ventures and Seventure Partners have driven Eligio Bioscience to a $20 million Series A offering, and the round equips Eligio to move its CRISPR-enabled bacteria-killing candidate toward the clinic in a rare disease indication. Eligio raised the money on the strength of an in vivo proof of concept data suggesting that its lead drug can selectively kill bacteria in the gut. and the candidate achieves such selective killing through the use of CRISPR-Cas9 targeted at specific genetic sequences, such as those that code for a toxin or make a bacteria resistant to antibiotics. Ding! And guys, this is all a plan, and they want to just get this shit inside of you to be able to CRISPR us on the fly. If the sequence is present, then the Cas9 is going to cut, and the bacteria will not repair its DNA, so it will lead to the death of the bacteria. The potential for CRISPR-Cas9 to enable targeted attacks on bacteria, sniper shots compared to the antibiotic WMDs, has raised hopes that this gene editing technology can address antibiotic crises. It also attracted the attention of biotechs, including Locus Bioscience and multiple academic groups. Eglio's platform could enable it to go after troublesome drug-resistant bacteria such as MRSA, which they gave Elon Musk to send up on SpaceX to take to the space station to see if they can make it more virulent to help fight antibiotic resistance. But following a well-worn path, the biotech plans to validate its approach in a currently undisclosed rare disease caused by a pathogenic gut bacteria before branching out to tackle bigger indications. The relatively low cost of developing drugs and rare diseases means that Eglio expects the Series A and beyond its anticipatory entry into the clinic in early 2020 and through the next generation of phase two data in the rare disease. In theory, Eglio's platform can treat any disease for which a causal relationship with bacteria exists, and the upshot is an opportunity for Eglio's platform to address, and it could mushroom in the boom of microbiome research, and it uncovers more and more causal relationships. Eglio's work delivers its gene-snipping payloads, but it is at the foothills of opportunities beyond CRISPR-Cas9. Paris-based Eglio tried to overcome challenges by stripping back bacteriophages. We found a way to remove the genome of phages and replace it with a Trojan horse with synthetic DNA circuits that contain proteins we want to express. It's not a phage at all anymore. We've rewritten life. All right, guys. Have a nice day. Catch up.